single soul. Reaching a world and stepping in closer. CGM TV.
Welcome to Living Life. You know, there's this expression that I've always known about, but never really found a good place to use it. But in this passage, I think it would be very appropriate to use it. The expression goes like this: no God, no peace. No God, no peace. So let me, it sounds like it's the same thing, but there's a difference. The first no God, no peace is K-N-O-W, peace. No God, no, K-N-O-W, peace. The second is N-O, no God, no peace. So if you know God, you will know peace. But if you don't know God, if there is no God in your life, there will also be no peace. So let's take a look at the passage and see how the passage works through this theme.
Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 8. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice, no one pleads his case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments and speak lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die, and when one is broken, an adder is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil deeds, and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are evil thoughts. Ruin and destruction mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks in them will know peace.
Welcome back to Living Life. You know, as we look through this passage, one of the issues is whether or not God could save or deliver this nation of Israelites who had been in bondage, in captivity through the Babylonian era and actually through the Persian era until 538 BC when Cyrus, King Cyrus, issued an order that they could go back to Jerusalem to begin work on the temple. So the question is whether God could save this people or deliver this people. But when we think about it, the question is never really whether God can save. God has the ability to save, and God has saved us. So we know there's no question about God's ability. Then the second issue is God willing to save. Yes, he's willing to save. We know that because he sent Jesus Christ to die in our place that we might be saved, that we might be freed from the penalty of our own sin. So we know that not only does he have the ability, but he is also willing to save. So when we look at this passage, we're kind of confronted with these same questions. So the first part of the passage is really interesting. It says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, or his ear too dull to hear. And there's no question. God can save, and certainly God can hear. God is all-knowing. God is omniscient. God is all-powerful. So God can save, and God can hear. The issue is, and the real problem here is that the sin and that the iniquities of the Israelite people separated them from a holy God, because God is holy and God cannot stay in the place of sin. So sin separated the people. And we know that even today when we read Romans 6:23, where it tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Well, this word death has a few meanings. Death, it means physical death, where we will be separated from this earth physically. But death also means eternally, meaning that we will be eternally separated from God. So death has this meaning of being separated from God. And even when we are alive, we can be separated from God. So it's kind of like being also, which is the third meaning of death, in this place of spiritual death, where even though we have physical life, we are separated from him spiritually. So when we look at this passage, this idea of separation from God plays out because of the holiness of God and then also of a man's sins and his iniquities. So what God does in this passage is he specifically states what are some of the iniquities and what are some of the sins that have separated you from me? Well, one of the things he says that you have blood on your hands, Israelites. You have killed or caused innocent people to be killed. What we're seeing is there's violence, there's murder in this the Israelite community, especially towards poor people. Guilty fingers, meaning that also that these Israelites were actually personally involved in these acts. They weren't standing apart from the acts. They weren't standing to the side, but they were personally some way involved. Or maybe they were involved because they set up this particular scheme. They bore false witnesses, probably in the courtroom against the poor. This is something that would occur a lot of time with the rich and the poor. The rich would use their wealth to gain an advantage over the poor in the courtroom. So there would be false testimony, false witness. There was no justice for the poor. They would even call upon the judges to make unfair judgments against the poor. All of this was injustice to God. There was no integrity, no honesty in the courtroom, and they conceived plots against the poor to bring them to an even further place and consequences, which would be go against what they were, their status. So you have all of this going on between the rich and the poor, and God is screaming out about this injustice, and he's specifically saying, these are the things that have caused my anger to boil against you. Now, the thing about it is, we love about God is God always holds out mercy. He always holds out grace, even when there is injustice. In this particular passage, as he's talking about the evil, as he's talking about the acts of violence on the hands, not only are they engaging in evil, but they're actually rushing into sin, and they're swift to shed innocent blood. But God talks about how the evil schemes are being produced and how violence mocks their ways. So he's not just saying this is a once or twice thing. This is kind of a lifestyle. He's talking about the lifestyle of people. And he says, because of this lifestyle, there will never be contentment. There will never be satisfaction. There will never be peace. You cannot know peace unless you know God. No God, no peace. K-N-O-W. No God, N-O, no peace. No peace. That was the indictment upon those who continue in their ways, that they will never know the peace that God can give them to remove them from their current predicament. Do you know God today? Because if you know God, then you know what true peace is. But if you do not know God, and if you do not have God in your life, you cannot know true peace. No God, N-O, no peace. But that can all change today. That can all change right now if you just call upon the Lord and say, Lord God, I want to know you and I want to know your peace today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this broadcast. I thank you for the listeners and those who are hearing and watching. I just pray today that they will think about you, consider the ways, and before this telecast is over, and even after, they might call upon you so that they might know you and they might know your true peace that only you can give. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching a world that's stepping in closer, CGM.